Welcome to the Next Level Sales Leadership Podcast. This is the show where we shorten the learning curve for sales leaders early in their career. I'm your host, Derek Jankowski. I'm excited to share this episode with you because this is our first episode that is also built for you to share with your team. This is a presentation that I had built that I had put in onboarding, reviewing the mindset that most helps reps find success in sales. It's letting them know, I think it's really important to set expectations around how hard something is and what somebody's going to feel as they encounter those hardships, because that's what's going to encourage them to push through those things and to come out the other side successful. I really think most of success is much more about how you think about it than what you specifically do. So this is a freshly built presentation. If you want the actual deck, shoot me an email, derek@derekjankowski.com, and I'll be happy to share it with you. But if you share this podcast with folks, they can go ahead and listen to it and get the goods, or feel free to take some notes, of course, and sort of make it into your own. So I call it the mindset of sales. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is expectations versus the real world. If you want a good visual of this, search for the plateau of latent potential. There's a good graph of this from James Clear's book called Atomic Habits. What ends up happening is we expect our results to linearly grow with our effort or our inputs. So if you spend 1 hour working on getting better at something, you expect to see the growth of that in your results by about an hour. It's not what happens. Skill acquisition is much more like an exponential growth curve, and our brains have a really hard time understanding exponential growth. So what that means is we think results grow, but in the beginning, they don't appear to grow at all. You'll get to a point that most people typically call this the time where it clicked. Hey, it clicked for me this month. What's really happening is the quality of their skills aligned really well, right? It grew enough to where they see their output matching their expectation based on their inputs. So the time in between those events from starting until it clicks, it's called the valley of disappointment, sometimes the valley of despair. This is the danger here, is you may think that you're not good at this. I'm just not good at sales. It's not for me. And that actually is impossible to tell based on your results at that point, right? When I think I'm not good at this job, still impossible to tell, right? Even if you've been successful in other roles, unless if you're putting the effort in and you're working hard, not just on the activity side, but also to learn, you're probably going to make it. Just might take a little bit longer than you were hoping for, than you expected. I've had reps go zero, we expect people to go one deal, two deals, four deals. I've had reps go 0, 0, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, and then get promoted because they showed up with this mindset of I'm going to work hard. I'm going to learn as much as I can. I'm going to stay focused on the things that are most important to learn right now. So remembering that those curves are different is absolutely critical. All right. So the second part we're going to talk about here is part of how to do that. And so this also is something I borrowed from Atomic Habits, but it's get 1% better every day. Because that curve, that skill curve is exponential, getting a little bit better every day causes your skill growth to compound on itself. And in sales, it's really hard to stand still. some people can do it. I've known some really excellent salespeople that I'm pretty sure never really, or at least once they started hitting their numbers, never really worked on improving things, you know? Cool. As long as they're hitting their numbers, I don't really care. I don't think most people can do that. So getting better at whatever specific part of the sales funnel is going to drive the most results for you. And sometimes that's getting a, you know, better proposal email or working with marketing or something to get better collateral. But if you're early in a specific job, it's most likely going to be a skill. And part of why this is so difficult for us is the way that our brains work. So humans have basically three brains in our head. At the core is what they call the lizard brain. If you Google the three-parted brain, you're going to find this. It's also called the triune brain, T-R-I-U-N-E, brain. So the lizard brain is called that because it's basically the exact same brain that lizards have, or pretty much all animals. For us, it's the brainstem and the cerebellum. It's a thing that keeps your body working, keeps your heart beating, keeps your nerves firing, makes your stomach growl when you're hungry. And so it runs your body on autopilot. And this is the part that triggers a fight or flight response. When we're doing something new, it can often be scary, and we want to just not do it. Just want to go away, just not do it. That's typically coming from the lizard brain. Then there is something called the limbic system, which we call in this model the mammal brain. It's pretty unique to mammals, and this is responsible for emotions, memories, habits, attachments. You know, a lot of our fear, anxiety, those things come from here. Sometimes what happens is like you feel the fight or flight response in the lizard brain. Your mammal brain makes you feel that as something like anxiety. Okay. And then what's unique to humans is the neocortex. We call this the human brain. This is the part of our brain responsible for language, abstract thought, imagination, consciousness, reasoning, rationalizing, okay? And when we feel this fear, this is a part of our brain that tells us, oh, I'm not afraid. This just isn't worth my time. Sorry, bro, but it's not true. It's that you're afraid. It's really hard to overcome, but it's true. And recognizing, what you want to do is you want to use the human brain to counteract the other brains. Really good way to, we're actually going to talk about a way to do this. We're going to talk about grit, but the most important way to do that is to change where your focus is. You're going to be afraid if you're focused on the hard part. You're going to be nervous if you're focused on how big your goal is. So break that into pieces, focus on what you can control, and that is going to help. We're going to talk about a few more strategies here in a second. The biggest secret, as far as I can tell, is something called grit. So the dictionary defines grit as firmness of character, indomitable spirit, or pluck. Angela Duckworth, the world's foremost researcher on grit, she said, grit is living life like a marathon, not a sprint. She wrote a whole book about this. I recommend it. And then I really love this quote from Winston Churchill. Never give in, never give in, never, 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 and nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force, never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. I get goosebumps when I read that. No, he's encouraging his country to be gritty, to continue moving forward in the face of adversity. Life is tough, and the only way out is through, right? We have to get through the toughness, and it makes us better, and it gets us closer to where we want. Batman Begins, right? They talk about, it doesn't matter how many times you fall down, It's how many times you get up. So how do you develop grit? I believe that everyone has it. It's inside of you. And using it makes it more powerful. Neglecting it makes it weaker. But anyone can develop this if you want. So here are some tips. Tip number one, treat whatever you're doing like a game, right? So don't take it seriously. Even if it's serious, your work can be serious, but it doesn't mean that you have to be serious about it all the time. There's a book I recommend called Barking Up the Wrong Tree, which is the author analyzes conventional wisdom and whatnot, determine is it really true, right? Is this really what we think it is? And if so, when? But he talks about somebody who got injured in, I think it was a hiking accident or a skiing accident. Like, he couldn't walk and he was far away from a public trail where he would need to be if somebody was going to find him and help him. And he had to crawl there and he knew it was going to take hours. So what he did is he turned it into a game. He would look ahead and find some point in the distance, a rock or a tree, and he'd say, all right, I'm going to get to that rock in 5 minutes. And so he would start the timer on his watch, and he was army crawling with his arms only in order to get there. He was trying to beat his time every time that he did that, right? That's how you stay focused on overcoming the challenge instead of how big the challenge is. All right, developing grit, the second point I want to talk about is focus on what you can control. If I had a motto, it would be control the controllables. Yes, there are things in your life that you don't have any control over that will influence the level of success that you can reach. I know that that's true of everybody, so I'm pretty confident that if you're listening to this, that is in your life. It does not help you at all to focus on those things. Imagine anytime that you complain about or spend time thinking about a thing that you can't change or control, it's like putting your car in park and jamming on the gas. It uses a ton of energy and it doesn't get you anywhere. So what does it mean to focus on what you can control? Well, there are two specific things in sales that I recommend. The first one is your daily activity. At the beginning of the month, set your goal and work backwards based on past performance to understand what your daily plan is, what you need to do each day, how many calls, how many emails, how many prospects, whatever it is, in order to hit that goal. I like to cushion that a bit, so I should do 20% more than what I think. That just ensures that when uncontrollable things pop out of nowhere, that I'm preemptively making up for that. I actually am a fan of breaking a day into smaller pieces. So when I was an SDR, I'd break it into three hour blocks, and I had a post-it note. I would tally up my calls, try to make 35 dials in each 3 hour block to get to at least 100 for the day. My CEO, Cyrus Nsumi, this is a doc, he walked by me and he saw this one day. What are you doing, Derek? And I told him, and he laughed at me because, oh, you know, we have Salesforce. We can just give you a report to tell you that. All right. Well, I didn't know that at the time. So I got a report, made it a little bit easier. But that competing with myself, it also turned it into a game, right? But my focus was on the effort, not on the output. And that focus is what allowed me to generate the output. Then the second thing you can control is getting better. Skill acquisition. You should have one thing every day that you are working on getting better at. It could be, you know, and not setting meetings, right? Okay. Or not closing. Like those concepts are too general. You have to break it into a specific skill. So it might be answering this specific objection flawlessly in my own voice. So you might need to practice that with somebody on your team or make sure that you get better at it. because you might not get it every day. When you do get it on a call, you know, hopefully you can, hopefully your calls are recorded. I know that you can't do that all the time, but then reviewing that call, even if it's not recorded, review it immediately after. How do I think that went? Did I do it well? And you could do it perfectly and it still not work. That's just how it works, right? Sometimes you can do everything perfectly and still not get your result. So you want to review the parts that you controlled and figure out what did I do well? And what would I do differently if I could do that all over again? All right, so we've got treat the job like a game, focus what you can control. And the next up is work towards something bigger than yourself. I don't know if this is true, but I kind of feel like people who have kids have an advantage over those of us who don't, because they have something that's bigger than themselves waiting at home. You know, you gotta go make money in order to take care of your family. That's just it. I don't know what your thing is. Maybe you have a family, maybe you don't. Maybe I don't think vacations are emotionally powerful enough. They're not for me. They might be for you, right? Different things work for different people, but what is that thing that is bigger than yourself that is going to make you push harder when you don't feel like it? How do you keep that top of mind? I had a rep named Randy Schock, and he brought in this concept of, I think it was called a goal board for the team. And so we had we called it Esther Labs, which was once a week, we'd meet as a team and people would get to present something that they thought would help other people perform better. We're trying to get some innovations. And so he brought in this goal board. It was basically this clear plastic board and you could slide a piece of paper in it. And what he did is he came up with a few goals that excited him, things that he wanted, vacations, like whatever. Put them on a piece of paper, printed that paper, slid it inside his goal board, put that on his desk, and that was in front of him all day. And that kept him motivated to keep going and keep going, keep going. Other people on the team adopted it. It certainly had an impact. And then last year's know when and how to blow off steam. You're a human. You've got those three brains. You've got emotions. It's going to happen. I've cried in sales jobs before, for sure. Okay. You may never cry, but you are going to be overwhelmed. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get angry. You're going to need, those are not emotions that are going to help you when you're on the phone. And hopefully you have somebody, hopefully it's your boss that you can just grab and dump your trash on. Blow off that steam and feel better, be able to get back and refocus. So that's it. I hope you like this. I hope that it helps set you in the right mindset for success. If you're a new sales leader, if you're in your first few years, you know, in this game, I do want to recommend that you check out the Next Level Mastermind. It's a private community, people just like you. I really believe that great leaders are made, not born, and we're making them every day in our community. Come join us, shorten the learning curve, and you know, make some friends. So go to my LinkedIn. So I'm Derek Jankowski. Go to my LinkedIn and check out the link. It's in my featured section. Also, you can email me, Derek@DerekJankowski.com. Love to jump on a Zoom with you for 15 minutes and tell you more about it if that's your jam. All right. Thanks again for listening and have an excellent week.